Lieutenant Governor John Swenson, Governor Williams. My colleague in the Senate, Senator McNamara, Jerry O'Rourke. Ladies and gentlemen, Prince Bismarck once said that one-third of the students of German universities broke down from overwork, another third broke down from dissipation, and the other third ruled Germany. I do not know which third of the student body of Michigan State is here today. I represent today and stand here as the standard bearer of the Democratic Party. And I carry that responsibility in the most difficult, dangerous, and significant time in the life of the great republic. Those of us who run as Democrats frequently quote the name of Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, and Truman. But what seems to me to be especially significant about 1960 is that the problems which are now descending upon us and have descended upon us in the last few years are problems which Wilson, Roosevelt, and Truman did not face in any degree, or if they faced them, they were only the size of a man's hand on the horizon. The problems of which I speak go to the ability of a free society to successfully maintain itself over a long period of time against the disciplined power of a monolithic state. That question has never been determined with satisfaction as to whether a free society can maintain that competition. And it will be our responsibility in the next decade, two decades, or three, to try to prove that we can. For example, is it possible for a free society, over a long period of time, to so increase its economic growth, in other words, double our present rate of economic growth, so that we're able to maintain full employment, so that we're able to maintain our defensive obligations, we're able to maintain those expenditures in the public sector which are necessary, and also fulfill our commitments around the world? Secondly, is it possible for a society such as ours in the next 10 years, when automation will become the regular rule instead of the exception? And I spent a month in West Virginia, nearly a week in McDowell County, West Virginia, which mines more coal than ever before in its history, which mines more coal than any county in the United States, and has more families getting surplus food packages than any county in the United States, where 20 years ago there was nearly full employment. Can we, in this state of Michigan and the United States, in the 60s, by governmental action, by action of labor and management, at a time when new machineries are coming in at a tremendous rate in all of the basic industries, can we maintain full employment? A problem entirely different than the problem which faced Franklin Roosevelt in the 1930s. Is it possible for the United States and the Soviet Union to come to an agreement on a cessation of nuclear tests, which provide a reasonable chance for an inspection system which will give us adequate guarantees? And if we do come to an agreement, what about the Red Chinese? Should not they be brought into those conversations if any agreement is to have significance? Or otherwise, isn't it possible for the Soviet Union to conduct its tests within the frontiers of China? And have the Chinese communists demonstrated in their present debate with the Soviet Union any desire to reach any agreement with any of us in the West, short of an all-out war to which they are now committed in their foreign and internal policy? And fourthly, is it possible for those countries to the south of us, in Latin America, Africa, and Asia, faced as they are with a revolution of rising expectations, faced with a steadily increasing population, with inadequate resources, with a totally inadequate educational base, is it possible for them to maintain freedom? Or are they going to be impressed by the example of the Chinese and the Russians in mobilizing in a short period of time all the resources of the state for the service of the state? Now, these are all new problems. They have been with us for some time. And my point is, this administration has never even recognized their existence in a very real sense. economic growth of which I spoke is not only nearly a third that of the Soviet Union, but it is also nearly only a half that of West Germany, Italy, and France, and slightly less than that of Great Britain. Last year, the lowest of any major industrialized society in the world. A recession in 54, a recession in 58. The Wall Street Journal, through which is the Bible of the Republican candidates, on all occasions says a recession is now underway. 2 years after the recession of 58, so quickly did our productive capacity catch up with demand. Secondly, this administration has shown as little interest in the subject of nuclear testing, a cessation of it, and disarmament as it's possible to show. We have had, as I said in the debate last night, less than 100 people working in the entire federal structure on the subject of disarmament, a subject as complicated in its own way as armaments, requiring the most extensive chemical and physical investigation and research. Less than 100 people scattered through the government. And our positions at Geneva on discussion after discussion have reflected it. We didn't even have a position at Geneva a year ago. We had to appoint an ad hoc committee under Mr. Coolidge from Massachusetts, who made a study of it for 3 months with a special committee, and then that report was thrown out and we accepted the British position. Thirdly, on the subject of economic breakthroughs of the underdeveloped country, a subject which this university has had more consistent interest in than almost any other educational institution in the Western world. You know from your experience here in this college that none of these countries are moving ahead within the so-called free zone, India and the rest, none of them are moving ahead in a way which indicates that they can match in any degree the economic mobilization of the Chinese communists. India's rate of economic growth is not sufficient to take care of the increase in their population and provide a steadily rising per capita income. And this administration has refused to put the development loan fund in sufficient strength, with sufficient vigor, on a long-range enough basis to permit these countries to meet their problems. And fourthly, a new emerging problem of the kind that we have seen in Africa has caught this administration flat-footed. And we did not establish a Bureau of African Affairs in the State Department till 1957. We gave last year 2% of all the development loan fund money appropriated to assist underdeveloped countries, less than 2% to all of Africa. There are four countries in Africa now in the United Nations that does not have a single American diplomatic representative within their frontiers. Ghana, which was independent in 57, and Guinea in 58, it took us 4 months to recognize the independence of Guinea. After it had declared its independence of France, the Soviet ambassador showed up that day, and we did not send an ambassador from between 6 to 8 months to Guinea. And now Guinea supports the communist foreign policy. There are 12 college graduates in the Congo, out of countries of millions. The United States in June offered 300 scholarships to the Congo. That was more than we offered to all of Latin America, all of Africa, the year before. There are less foreign students studying in the United States today than there were a decade ago under American finance programs by the federal government. Less than 200 scholarships for all of Africa. There were in 1957 more foreign service personnel in Western Germany than in all of Africa. There has not been a Latin American program under the Voice of America, except for the 3 months of the Hungarian crisis in the last 8 years. So anyone who tells me we've never had it so good, anyone who says this kind of experience should be rewarded with 4 more years of administration in the most changing time in the life of our country doesn't look around them. I believe of our two parties, their ability to meet new problems goes all the way back to the beginning of this century. The Republican candidates and their slogans tell the story. McKinley, keep stand pat with McKinley. Return to normalcy with Harding. Keep cool with Coolidge. Repeal Social Security with Alf Landon. I don't know what Thomas Dewey ran on, nor did he. But I do say that the slogans of the Democratic candidates in this century tell a story. Woodrow Wilson's New Freedom, Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal, Harry Truman's Fair Deal. And in my judgment, the accomplishments of those administrations in the field of foreign policy were directly related to their accomplishments in the domestic field. The 14 points of Woodrow Wilson had its domestic counterpart in the New Freedom. The four freedoms of Franklin Roosevelt had its counterpart in the New Deal. And the Marshall Plan, the NATO Doctrine, Point Four, the Truman Doctrine, all had their counterpart in the Fair Deal program of President Truman. So that is the issue which the students the decision which you, as voters, will reach on November 8th, and it is only our responsibility to attempt to suggest the alternatives. The decision you must reach is not merely between Mr. Nixon and myself. In a sense, it is not merely between the Republican and the Democratic parties. It is between a concept of the future, a basic realization which I believe all Americans must possess, that the balance of power is not shifting in our direction, that what we are now doing is not good enough, that we have lost in a major sense the imagination of the people of the world as a vital free society, a revolutionary society. We do not demonstrate in our dealings the same confidence that Mr. Khrushchev's children will be free men as he demonstrates in his dealings with us and with all other men, that our children will be communists. I believe that we possess the most radical of all doctrines, but I do not think that that can be promoted. I do not believe that we can indicate to a watching world, as we sit on a most conspicuous stage, that we represent the wave of the future until the Democratic Party and those who believe that this country must begin to move again assume positions of responsibility.
Hey, Mr. County.